Hello, IROC Space Radio listeners. This is Top 10 Questions with the Top Guns of our space industry, where we interview today's movers and shakers launching us into tomorrow's new horizons. I'm Ashley First, giving you a first look at the space industry's who's who. Our next guest is a groundbreaking trailblazer and ceiling shatterer in this space industry who's been at the helm of many firsts, not just for her company or nation, but for all humankind. Hello. Who in the space world are you?
I am Karen Bradford, and I'm the Director of Strategic Partnerships at NASA Ames Research Center in Silicon Valley.
What does that mean? What do you do all day?
You know, I'm the person who leads the teams that help make sure our technology, the expertise that we have at NASA, are shared partnerships with our commercial space industry, universities, also in support of our international and our OSTEM goals.
Is it true your NASA career started with a resume handoff in a restroom? And can you tell us the day it stopped feeling like a rookie and you realized, I was made to do this?
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Sometimes, depending on the day, I still get that feeling. And I have to kind of check in with myself, though. I'd say, though, for at NASA, it was in one of our team meetings. I was started at NASA working at Pearl Harbor, which was very different. So NASA is a world-class research institution, and so discussions sometimes get more brainstorming than other organizations. And our discussion was on the development of a report for the first year or so that the NAI was in existence. So at one point, we're sitting there, and I said, so who asked for the report? And there was dead silence. And then the deputy leading the meeting said, and that's why she's in the room, because no one actually asked for the reports.
Oh.
But I have to say, the NAI did amazing annual reports from then on. I highly recommend people take a peek out there.
That's amazing, and good thing they had you in that room. As a person whose job involves connecting people from different sides to spawn innovative ideas, what are some of the most fascinating or unprecedented conversations you've ever heard?
Oh my gosh.
That you can talk about.
Yeah, right?
That have already happened, that the public knows.
That have already happened. Okay, let's do that. One point, I was sitting in a room and we were talking about the mission to Mars, and I suddenly realized they weren't talking about a movie. Right?
Wow.
And what's even more amazing, I've been really lucky to be in the room when those things come to being true. For instance, the Chabot Space and Science Center in the East Bay that's bringing the NASA experience in tangible new ways to one of the most diverse school districts in the country. It's stunning with the possibilities of what that will bring for this next generation. Being in conversations like that, that just blows my mind.
That is excellent, and I've always said the greatest missiles any nation can launch are the minds of the next generation.
True that. Absolutely.
And on that note,
would you tell us about the award-winning work you're doing for minority STEM programs, and how has the employee landscape changed since you started in this space industry 24 years ago?
I mean,
even Hollywood has taken notice from films like Hidden Figures and now Million Miles Away. Albeit there should probably be a film about you paving the way for females like Mars Rover Flight Director Diana Trujillo and ISS astronaut Jessica Watkins.
Oh my gosh, I don't know about all that. That's really very complimentary, Ashley. That's wow.
I wonder who would play you in the movie of your remarkable life.
That's a wow moment for me to even hear that. But I gotta tell you, there's so many people out there. And honestly, the next Hidden Figure, the next Diana Trujillo, the next Jessica Watkins, the next Victor Glover are all sitting there hopefully listening to this interview.
Amen.
I want them to know that they're ready, that we're waiting, that we want them, right? A lot of credit that you just gave to me, but honestly, it's everyone out there. We all have to pull forward for this. So we're looking at that. How do we do that? Not being just on the cutting edge, but on the bleeding edge of increasing our diversity, equity, inclusion at NASA and across the nation.
Hmm.
The first NAI Astrobiology Institute annual meeting that I helped coordinate back in probably 2000 or so, and the audience, 300 or so participants, I don't think there was but one other person who was African American or any underrepresented color. Both of my parents were educators. My mom is from the West Indies, also from Miami. My dad is from Atmore, Alabama. For that matter, none of the principal investigators were of color.
Mm.
Of that number, there couldn't have been 10 women in the room.
Whoa.
Okay. So fast forward, that same conference about 2012, after we'd done all this work with reaching out more to students, man, had the audience landscape changed. changed. I remember looking out and thinking, wow, this was the goal. This is showing that the needle is moving. And I was so proud that whatever small part I had in that, that you could see that blooming, right?
Exactly. And thank you for planting those seeds because you started to see them blossom.
Uh-huh.
And speaking of that,
is there a launch date for the Starfleet Academy program you've worked on with Google and the United Negro College Fund? And was any of it inspired by the movie Black Panther with their Oakland Youth Outreach Center? Does life imitate art here or art imitate life?
So I'd say prior to the Black Panther movie, the Oakland Outreach Center, definitely a fan, right? That really was my own nomenclature and using Starfleet. I am such a Star Trek geek girl, right? Always have been. So when the United Negro College Fund and Google, probably back in 2006 or so, had this conversation, I said, you know what? We really need to get Starfleet Academy started. We've seen it on TV and in movies, and as we all know, you vision it and that's how you get there. So it's kind of been my personal goal, is to get that idea of everybody being included and bringing all they have has always stuck with me. And again, the work that we're doing with the Chabot Space and Science Center, I think is going to help us get to that. Just like our work with Google and programs, not just in the Valley, but these wonderful commercial space industries across the nation. Again, I may not be here, but actually I'm hoping you will continue to push this further in the next generation so that we get there. All I'm asking for is a very small line at the bottom of some really huge plaque that said, Karen helped somehow.
That's right. No, we definitely stand on your shoulders. Thank you. It's like to go there, we have to grow there.
Absolutely.
Is there an astronaut or space industry mentor you looked up to? And was there a moment when the tables turned and you got to be that space idol for a younger person who looked up to you?
Gosh, that's a hard question, Ashley. I've gotten so much support and guidance. I've been so amazingly the right place at the right time, really graced to receive this career. And it may not look like grace at first. It looks like a huge challenge, right? But in the end, you learn and grow so much from it that it's everything. I hope I'm doing that for the next generation. I've always been in awe of our astronauts. As a kid, are you kidding me? I'm so proud of what they do for this country, for this Earth. Huge fan of former astronauts as well as our recent classes, right? Victor Glover, like we mentioned, Jessica Watkins, who was actually an intern at NASA Ames. They've been so proud. There have been so many mentors. Our former Senate Director, Dr. Pete Wharton, and I mentioned Dr. Bloomberg, Dr. Harriet Jenkins. We have a whole NASA fellowship that was built around the work of Dr. Harriet Jenkins. And of course, people like Nichelle Nichols. She went out there and recruited for NASA during the time that she was on Star Trek. We sent her out there. And I want to mention some of these people, Ron Braid and Mabel Matthew, you know, Lou Braxton and Don James, all who have been a key part to make sure that next generation has a chance to have access to me, to talk with me. That's everything. It's everything.
Wow, what a beautiful peripeteia from you being mentored to opening doors for the next generation of Jessicas to follow your trailblazing.
You are sculpting a new aerospace landscape for little girls and humans around the world to dream bigger. What's something on the horizon that you're excited to see happen in your lifetime?
That first woman of color or person of color on the moon, but particularly woman of color. Look, I'm ready. I am beside myself. If you can see me right now, next to me is me. The moment of that dream happening, hopefully being able to sit in the room and see that with my grandchildren sitting by me. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. What would that mean?
Precisely. I hear you're quite the singer and classical pianist. If you and your space orchestra landed on Mars, what's the first song you'd perform? And for those who don't know, what is the space orchestra?
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of credit. The International Space Orchestra, an amazing group of singers and musicians. They bring not just famous space songs to life, but new compositions around space themes and such. I love all the genres of music. So the first song, Age of Aquarius for sure, that would be the first one.
Okay, now it's time for our rapid fire fill in the blanks. You're used to all kinds of hectopascal pressures at work, but are you ready for our rapid fire fill in the blanks?
I'm ready, let's go.
At work, I'm known for
untangling chaos.
My advice to tomorrow's generation looking to do what I do is
get out of the screen and into the scene and always flex your figure it out gene.
I'd like to be remembered for
kindness.
The music that gets me rocking and I'd like to hear on iRock Space Radio is
anything that really connects me to what I'm vibing to at the time. Definitely starting with Age of Aquarius.
Thank you, Director Bradford, for carving out the time to be with us here today.
Oh, you are so welcome. Thank you so much for the time so that we can share about what we do at NASA and getting that next generation. I need that academy started. I need everybody to be a part of it.
That's right, listeners. You heard her.
This has been Top 10 Questions with the Top Guns in Our Space Industry, where we interview today's movers and shakers launching us into tomorrow's new horizons. I'm Ashley First, and I've given you a first look at the space industry's who's who.